Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning as we gather once again, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Father, we thank you for this privilege, for what you have done for us, O Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory. And are thankful, Lord Jesus, for friends and kindred kinds in the Lord, the family of God, your children, brother and sister in the faith in other countries, Lord, that we have relationship with Father in thy word and in fellowship. And because, O Lord, of your love given to us, Father, there is always this born, O Father, within us, that we are part of your family and we do care for one another and to feel, O Lord, the pain of one another. We even commit, O Lord, Sister Bria, this time to you for her condition. And we know, Lord, that sometime what happened back thousands of years ago, and because of the sin and the hybriding, O Lord, and the gene, some men are so mixed, O Lord, that causes so much deformity in the life and the body of mankind, Lord. And whether it be physical, O Lord, or whether it's systematically, O Lord, whether it's whatever, Lord, that is in the body. And we ask that, Lord, as we commit this time to you, we commit Sister Bria to you, Lord, that you be with her. And she always look to you too, Father, in faith in Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father, this morning as we sit under your feet. May you bless us, Lord, in our understanding of your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated and let us go to John chapter 5. We finished off last week in Matthew chapter 9, 14 to 17. Now, as we carry on the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ, we are now in the book of John chapter 5, verse 1. Alright, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now that will be the only in the book of John do we find a mention of four Passover in the life of Jesus Christ. So this is the second Passover. So by this time now, Jesus Christ would have been 31 and a half years old. Alright, his age will be 31 and a half. After this, there was a feast of the Jew, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem, so Jesus Christ was coming down from the north, from Galilee down to Jerusalem to keep the feast of the Passover. Okay, so you look at the map, so you all remember that he was up here in Galilee. Alright, up here in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And so he came down, all the way down to Jerusalem. Okay? To keep the feast. Alright? So there are many days journey to get there. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate. Now, your Bible said sheep market. But it should be actually a sheep gate. A pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Bethesda. Having five porches. Now let us look at this chart of these, or the drawing of the city of Jerusalem, the sheep gate. So they ask, and obviously you know where. Now the city of Jerusalem has a wall built around it. Alright, this is the city of Jerusalem, has a wall built around it. Okay? Now, if there are several walls, there are actually three walls altogether, but the main wall is the wall that surrounds Jerusalem. Okay? This one here. Alright. This is the second wall, and then there's a third wall on the outside. Now, this is where the pool of Bethesda is. The sheep gate is right here. Alright? The eastern gate, the beautiful gate, so there are different gates all around this wall of Jerusalem. Okay? Now, this is the sheep gate. So the pool of Bethesda is out here. Alright. So, this record here of John is about a certain incident that happened there at Bethesda. And there are five porches, I mean, there are five sections to this pool. We can't even see how, you imagine how the pool is. It's actually some water area column. And if you've ever been to a Roman pool in those days, Roman people go there to to clean themselves, whatever it is, a section here, a section there, a section here. So there are something like five porches over there. And in there, in these lie a great multitude of important folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, even the word Bethesda is the Hebrew word, it means kindness, the house. Beth means house, right? Bethesda means kindness, house of grace, house of goodness, and all the virtues. Okay? And it is this the name of this pool. And this is why a great multitude. Now, it's a great multitude, we don't know how big that pool really is. Alright, and they are all in section. Alright, places where people could lie down and sit there and wait for their chance to get healed there. Because of what God allows certain thing to happen every so often. Alright, a messenger, or the Bible says an angel will come and trouble the water. Okay, so the Bible here is in all kinds of important folks. And here is sort of a play of words here. Here is Bethesda, and here where you have the house of kindness, of goodness, and mercy, and all that. And here we have all these sick folks, blind, lame, and hawk. You know what I mean? And they are in the place, of course, waiting for God's kindness and mercy to come down. And it says here, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Now the word angel here in the Greek word, you must understand when the Bible translates the word angel, in the Greek word here is angelo. Okay? Now it means messenger. Alright? So it can be a heavenly messenger, it can be an earthly messenger. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Even as we know, if you want to, let's look at some verses of the Bible. Go to Matthew 11. Alright? Matthew 11, verse 10. And so you can understand, so the word here, that the word angel is just a common word used in the Bible translation back in the days of King James. They should actually use the word messenger. Chapter 11, Matthew 11, 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. And the word messenger here is angel, or angelo. What's the translated messenger here? But in other place, it translates angel. So behold, I send my messenger before thy face. Who is this messenger referred to here? John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was an angel. So the word angel means a messenger. That's what it is actually. So they only went to two different church, whether it is a heavenly messenger or an earthly messenger. Many times, and even where Paul would say, Matthew 13. Alright, 13, and we look at verse 39. Matthew 13, verse 39. And here we have another one here. Verse 39, Matthew 13. The enemy that sold them, the soul went for the soul, and then the enemy came the soul. Has. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Okay? Jesus said about, if all went for the soul, so good seed, and here, after man slept, here came the enemy to sow tares. Correct? And the servants of the householder found that the field have the wheat and the tares growing together, he said, shall we not just go and grab the tares away? And Jesus said, well, leave it alone until the end of the harvest, then I will send forth the angels. Is that right? Or the reapers. And the reapers here, of course, are the angels. The angels, who are the angels? Are actually the messenger. Who are the messenger? They are God's minister. Okay? So when we say messenger in the Bible, we always remember that it's just a servant of God. Alright, maybe the heavenly angel who are best heavenly messenger or the earthly one. As Paul would say in some place, if an angel from heaven or even messenger from heaven preach you any other gospel than which I preach. So he is referring to that which even in heaven will come to you in disguise. Okay? Or influence you in some other doctrine or teaching that is not what Paul preached. So the word angelos, you must understand, is always the word messenger, and it could mean a a human being or God's servant. So in this case, back to John chapter 5, in this case here it says that at a certain season of time, an angel went down. So it could be a heavenly messenger. We do not know. It could be a servant of God. Alright? Now some people may say, well, messenger will refer to people who think it must be a prophet. And there was no prophet at that time except John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. At that time, who said so? You remember arguments? Right? There are others. Only that they are not prominent. Hey, God might give him a direction, he might go to the water there and trouble the water and spill the water or something and somebody see it and would jump in, right? Or it could be, wow, you know, that an angel from heaven might just come down and spill the water without you seeing him, being that he is in the spirit form. So the Bible is not clear on this, whether it is a heavenly angel that come down to spill the water or an earthly messenger of God, a servant of God that actually comes to trouble the water. Like, you know, go right at this time now, the season, go and trouble the water and get someone to get healed. Things like that. Okay, now, and it says that whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him like and knew that he had been a long time in that there, he said unto him, would thou be made whole? The important man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, for while I am coming, another step down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now, we know that the pool, the Bible describes it as five porches, five sections. Now, they said there's a multitude, so we do not know how the people are scattered. You know, sometimes they may lean against a portion of a wall, or maybe there's a rock or a stone somewhere, they just lie down there, looking at the water and the pool before them. And they are, the pool is pretty big, of course. So when Jesus appeared, there are a lot of people there, of course, but he just went to one person. Okay? Now, this time he's in Jerusalem. He's no longer out there in Capernaum, but he's well known. Alright? In Galilee, a lot of people know him. Okay? But now he is in Jerusalem, in this pool of Bethesda. So, and apparently he walked around, there are people who would have never seen him. Okay, came to this man and said, would you be made whole? The man said, yes. Oh, I want to be made whole, but before I can get into the troubled water, somebody jump in before me. And so Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the seventh day. Remember, he came down for the Passover. Right. The day preparation is a Friday, we were saying in our time, if you want to put a corresponding time. Friday evening was the preparation. 6 p.m. Friday, 6 p.m. is the Passover begin. Right. So this could have been already the morning of the Passover. Not 6 p.m. but probably the following day at 6 a.m. Past 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. where Passover will be over. So it would have been probably in the morning when he went up to this place. And it was a Sabbath day. Now, the Jew therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry thy bed. So now apparently now I had to put a banister and this man was told rise and walk. And he took up his bed and he walked. And so when he got out of this poor area, and remember there are a lot of people there for the Passover, right? And here, of course, somebody, a religious guy, saw him, hey, you're not supposed to carry your bed. You know, this is a Sabbath day. And he answered them, he said, he that make me whole, the same say unto me, take up your bed and walk. So what am I supposed to do? The one who healed me, tell me to take my bed and walk, so I take my bed and walk. He didn't say, go home. He said, take my bed and walk. You know what I mean? That's very specific. That's why it's very important, as I said, to hear God's instruction. If God says, do this, don't miss something out. That's why it's so important to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't miss out that part. Oh, it's okay, I repent and I believe in Jesus Christ, that's okay. Do I need to get baptized? No, you cannot. You want to be specific, obey the word of God as it should be. Don't leave out anything. So when Jesus said, rise, he rise. Take up your bed, walk, walk. That's it. Everything will be okay. Right? You understand that now? If not, then you rise up and walk. Hey, and leave your bed down. Something might go wrong. Somewhere your healing might not be complete to say. You have to follow every instruction. God's way is just like that for the healing of the soul in our spirit. Okay? So there is a while the man told me to get out of my bed and walk, so I walk. Then they ask him, "What man is that we say unto thee, take up your bed and walk?" And he that was healed did not know who he was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place, and he never knew who Jesus was and never met him before. You know, 38 years he had been suffering, you know, with that the condition, and he had been lying there in this, near this pool of Bethesda for how many years, we do not know. He suffered 38 years infirmity. I do not know how many years he'd been lying there waiting for a cure. You know, so he said, "I don't know who," you know, and Jesus actually, when told him to rise, take a bed and walk, and he walked, and he took a bed and walked, and Jesus just moved away. You understand that? He just moved away, not to be, want to be recognized or to be identified, or else you will not be able to move around freely to do what he wanted to do. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. So the front of put the balusters down, Jesus went down to the temple, which is, you know, through the chief gate, and then, of course, Jesus met him. And he said to him, now remember this, look what happened here, the record shows. Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." Now, if this thing, that this verse does not appear here, we will not know what kind of a condition or what causes this man to suffer this disease. Now, let me say this, don't jump to any conclusion. Not every disease are caused by your sin, your sinning. You understand? Some these, we all are, in fact, because we already are sinners to begin with. Okay? So, that's the one, many of us, because of sin, we all age. We grow old, we age, we suffer from this sickness or that sickness, once in a while the flu hits us, you know, or things like that. We may get problem with our tummy and like peptic ulcer or, you know, things like that. Alright. But there are cases where people get into this different diseases and infirmities because of their sinning. So apparently this man, now he's been 38 years suffering from this disease, so assuming that he started doing all the sinning when he was at young age, let's say at his teenage or late teen or early 20s, now he could have been already around 60 years old at this time. Right? You see, so that a lot of people today drinking, fornicating, at nothing, you see, smoking, and so in the end they get all this. Now you all know in Singapore there's been a report there's a lot of HIV increase, huh? Increase of HIV because of homosexual act. Girls between girls and boys between boys. You see, so a lot of sexual activity going on, and that's why we see a lot of foreigners, and we have a lot of pimps from China, or even recently in the paper, a couple of days ago. You see, bringing women from other countries to live on their, you know, it's an immoral earning anyway out of this woman that he's living on. You see, so this man was told, "You've been made whole. Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." And that is very true. You know. So you better live right now on, or else you get worse than what you're having now. So his disease was caused by his sinning. You understand that? Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. But not every person who suffers from a certain disease doesn't mean that he is because he sinned. Could be the person, maybe in the age 40 or 30, you got a problem with the ears, or sinus problem. Alright? It doesn't mean that the person, because of his sin, he is sinning, or she is sinning, they get this problem. Not all cases are. Alright, so let's go on. Verse 15, "The man departed and told the Jew that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." So the man, of course, now will report to those who are telling to give up your bed and walk. And so he said, "Oh, that was Jesus. Now recognize him, you know." And so the Jews, these are the religious Jews, not a common Jew, actually. Actually, those that are very religious. They wanted to kill Jesus Christ. Just imagine that. The Bible says they destroy him. Rather to destroy him, I think, oh, just to destroy reputation or what? No, the intention is to get rid of him, to stone him, because according to the law, according to their interpretation, their traditions, their interpretation of what Moses said, the prophet said, so that they have the right to try to destroy him. Now, two days ago, there was an article in the paper, big article all about the Arab world. Okay, how the Shiite came about, how the Sunni came about. And some of you don't even care to read and find information on what's going on. These are the information. What we see today is the fulfillment of scripture about all these troubled sports. You see? And you can just imagine that even the every religion will have different branches of the same religion. Different denomination or different cultic group. So in the same thing with Islam, after Muhammad died, he has no successor, so here's one that is Shiata Ali, I think that's what his name is, and so they follow this one, so it's become called the Shiite group, and they are the one that have all this baqwad and all these black robes and all this thing, going back to ancient medieval time, but they walked in the modern world, that sort of thing. And here we have the other group who follow the teaching over, they call it Sunnah, that's why you get a Sunni. Means the Sunnah means the way. So they are called the Sunni. Okay, but actually, they both claim successor. Well, same thing in the world today. How the Christian church split the two. Back then, there was this corner as a Catholic church, not a Roman Catholic, just called a Catholic church out there in Europe. Just over one deep tone of the Word of God, and tap, it went into East and West. So the West is called Roman Catholic, and the East is called the Greek Orthodox. That's how we get all this problem. You know? And that's why you see Roman Catholic, they still have all this urn thing and all this censor thing, and the Catholic do the same thing, all these rituals still back in those days. You know? Alright? And their dress and their robe, and you know how they dress, and isn't it? They don't dress normally like this, they dress in a very religious way, and so today we have the same thing. In Islam, you know, we have over the same also the things in Buddhism, how the priests were dressed. And so these are the religious people. And I think that's one thing about religion. Everybody in the world, whether you say you are Christian or not Christian, whether you're Islam or Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist, or even you say you're an atheist or agnostic, you have a religion. Do you know that, don't you? You say you have no religion, you don't believe in God, you're a free thinker. You actually have a religion. Do you know that? Because your religion is thinking free. I don't know what you're thinking about, what kind of freedom you want to think about, you know? So your religion is eat and die tomorrow, things like that sort of thing. Eat and die tomorrow, you know? That's your religion. I live what I want, I'm carefree. You know? You want to go and be a playboy, whatever it is, that is in religion. Make money in religion. Today we have in the paper Dr. Susan Lim. Wow, that is her religion. Make money, inflate the money, you know, so that her religion is to get money from the other richer guy whose religion is to make more money for himself. And all these things is carry on. So the vicious cycle of the sin of a person. Huh? And that's what it is. So what's our livelihood? What about us? And I said this when we always try to encourage you. Be spiritual, to look and recognize what the Word of God says, you know, guide you. It's important, without the Word of God, you have nothing. Alright? Okay. Let's go on. Verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worked hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Hitherto my Father worked, and I work. Now remember this, the Bible said that God created heaven and earth. Is that right? 6 days, on the seventh day he rested. Is that right? Yes. 7 days rested. After 7 days, start again. Isn't it? So Jesus Christ said, he told my Father work, and so I work. Right. So what is the word rest here? God rested on the seventh day. But Jesus worked on the Sabbath. He works on the Sabbath. So what rest was that referring to? It was referring to a spiritual rest and not a day. You understand that? Only in the Bible, when God deal with Israel, he gave them a day of rest. Alright, to give the law was given to Israel to hold them. As the Bible has Paul said, was a schoolmaster. It was actually a carrier, like a basket. This law was put in a basket so that it could, God could carry the children of Israel in this basket. As long as they keep the law, He could carry them until grace comes. Do you understand that? So it's only a schoolmaster to teach them of their errors of their life, of their ways of life. You know, but it is not meant to be something that becomes so legalistic. You understand? And that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees have taken the law of God, or Moses, and put inside the traditions that it becomes so legal. You know, that they would not show mercy or grace at all. Even though God put law in it, I said this before, there is grace in the law of God. Right? There is grace in the law of God. You see, but they don't see grace in the law. They put law, as strictly law, to whether if you don't do it according to their teaching and tradition, you are finished. So Christ came here to say, to do something, to proclaim the mercy of God, to proclaim the grace of God. And so He said, He told to my Father works, so now I work. I'm a continuation of my Father's work. Alright, and therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but He also said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Now that is kind of, so when you say equal with God, in what sense equal with God? Now they're Trinitarian. Father is God, Son is God, so He's the God God. Now that's not what it means by this is God and therefore this Son of God, so He's God. So God, God. No, it's not in that sense equal with God in the sense as we think. Equal to God in the sense that he comes with the same quality of Godhood. You understand the same quality of Godhood? Okay, now my son is not equal with me. Can he be equal with me? If he is equal with me, I'm not a father anymore. Isn't it? That's why he's called a son. So Jesus is called the Son of God. He cannot be called a father too. So he's not in a sense equal with the Father as a part in that value. But in a similitude, because he, my son, has my blood. He has my name. You understand? Got it? You understand that? Equal in that sense as to the substance that he received from the Father. So this is one thing that the teaching of the Trinitarian is that when they hear the word equal, Father equal God, Son equal God, Holy Spirit equal God, say three gods. So that you have a big problem. That's not what the Bible actually says in that sense. If it is so, then you don't need the Father or Son and the Holy Ghost. You understand that you were just given some other name that everybody will be equal in that sense of equality and being a part. Alright? Let's go to Psalm chapter 2 verse 7 where the verse was taken from. Psalm chapter 2 verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son. He said, Have I begotten thee? This is why Jesus, when he said, My Father, you work here to our work, and the Jew believed that he must have got this, you know, claim that from the Psalm chapter 2 or something, the Psalm of David. Alright? Got it now? Okay, this is what he says here. I will declare the decree. The Lord say unto me, Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. So there's a year's claim that God is his father. And if God is his father, and he becomes the son because God begat. You know what begotten is? To begat. I begot my son. Right? He came out of me. So the same thing, Jesus came out of the Father. So there were no two gods. So begotten means to begat, to birth, to bring forth. So Jesus here was brought forth. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's what the Father, God the Father, told Jesus. That's what it means. That's why Jesus said, God is my Father. So now we are all begotten of God too, right? Jesus is the only begotten. He is the first begotten. The Bible says He is the first and only begotten. Only means unique. But He was the first begotten way back before anything started. But every one of us, we are all begotten of God too. Right? If Christ is the first begotten, who is number two? Who is second? Who is third? Who is fourth? Huh? Correct. I don't know what number you are. 1001, 2001, whatever. But we are all begotten of God. And this begotten is a spiritual begotten. So that we become children of the living God. So I'm the son of God. I'm a son of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. See? So we claim God is our father. But are we equal with God? No. So we need to understand the term of the Bible. But because, you know, Christianity has been around for almost 2,000 years, right? And it was being handed down after all these great apostolic fathers, they went to sleep. And the devil started to show these tears and, you know, messed up everything, and we have all these so-called teachings handed down from the Catholic Church to today. And everybody was taught this and that, and they don't care anything else. And so much so that the Trinity will tell you, if you don't believe in Trinity, you're going to hell. You see, you must believe that God is a Trinity. No. God is not a Trinity. I will not say a person who believes in the Trinity goes to hell. I wouldn't say that. That has nothing to do with the doctrine that's completely wrong and twisted, and only that you don't even know who the God that you worship. But for the Trinity, to say that we who don't believe in the Trinity goes to hell, oh my, he doesn't even know his Bible in the first place. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? If you believe the communion bread is a piece of Jacob's cracker, you know Jacob's cracker? Or roti you get from the roti prata shop? Okay, I will not say you go to hell. And if you think the cup is not wine and you want to put Ravina juice on it, I won't say you go to hell because you do that. You understand what I'm saying? Only that your doctrine all messed up. Because salvation is not because of these doctrines. Salvation is based on a person, Jesus Christ. Is that right? And when you know Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. But the question right now is this. What place do you want to be in the kingdom of God? Because the kingdom of God is in the form of a pyramid, a hierarchy. Is that right? You know what I'm talking about? Huh? There are multiple followers of Jesus Christ. But the disciples were few, 12, and up there only are 3 of them, so close to him, and beside Peter, James, and John. John was the one closest to Jesus Christ. You see, but here we have a message given to us in this last day. What is the message given for? It is given for us to get ourselves lined up with the Word of God and be prepared for His coming. To escape, as Paul would say, and the out and out resurrection from among the dead. So we want to escape out of this mess of the world, just like Enoch got out before even the flood came. You understand that? There will be many people like Noah, but God sailing through the flooding of the world. He will say, go through this tribulation flood that God is going to put on this earth. And you suffer the consequences of going down on a boat for 40 days, and after 40 days you come out, and then there's a lot of problem after that too. You know. So the message is given to us to prepare us, and that's important. We need to line up with the Word of God. As the Bible said, every Word of God, every iota, every tittle will not pass away. It must be fulfilled. You know. And it's important therefore for us to correct ourselves. When we are wrong, we need to get back to the Word. And we need to be clothed the way we should be clothed by the Word of God. Not traditional teaching. But if you don't have a ear to hear, you will not hear. You will continue down your road on Methodism, Presbyterianism, or Lutheranism, Anglicanism, Roman Catholicism, or Branhamism, whatever it may be. Okay? Stick to the Word of God. Alright, and we continue here, verse 19. Of Matthew, of John 5. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doeth. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. So you see, to say that Jesus and the Son of God and Father are equal, this doesn't make sense. There are many places the Bible will tell you it doesn't make sense. First of all, to be called the Son, and God the Father cannot be equal. Are you married into poor brother? Are you married?
No.
You're not married.
No.
Or the young one not married. Okay. Now, those who are married will realize that the Son cannot be equal to the Father. That's number one. And the same thing Jesus said here again, I cannot do anything until what the Father says. I see the Father do. That is to say, I cannot do anything unless God, my Father, tell me what to do. Yes or no? Unless I have the authority from my Father to do it. As you know, why in the book of Matthew, in the last chapter, the last few verses, Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth is now given unto me. You understand that? Before that, he had no power. Even right now, he doesn't have all power and authority to do what he wants to do. He has no right to do anything just because he wants to do. You see, he came to fulfill the scripture. Do you understand? So he's being guided by the Spirit of God. So when he came to this Buddha barrister, he's being led by the Spirit of God. And of all the, I don't know how many hundreds of people are there, it's a great multitude. But he only healed this one man, right? He went off to see this one man. Why God doesn't heal the rest? You see, it's just like when I was in a hospital working and this colleague said, if your Jesus is so good, why don't you heal everybody in the hospital? You understand that? You see, but why does God want to do that? If God would heal everybody in the hospital, if Jesus would heal everybody in the hospital, in the whole world, everybody would be Christian overnight. There'll be no war, right? There'll be no war. Really? If there is a man that's given the power of God, in the name of Jesus, he healed the sick everywhere. Old folks like my mother will be able to walk. You know, man, every old folks will be able to walk. Nobody hunchback. Everybody is sweet. Everybody is healed. And everybody will be Christian. There will be no terrorists. Huh? Think about that. That kind of religion does not need faith at all. You know what I mean? You see, you're just believing because it's there. But can you believe? Because Jesus said, you know, Thomas, you see me and you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Why? Because of the word of the witnesses. You see. Well, like our Lee Kuan Yew said, you know, he doesn't believe in, you know, any particular religion at all, you know, he's a philosophical minded person. And he said, I have not seen anybody who went go over the other side and come back and tell me. Right now. Of course. Who do you want in the first place? What if I ask you very kindly? Who would you believe? On a certain religion to say that religion is true. If somebody went over that side and came back and tell you, yeah, I've been to the other side. And you, if he is not your friend, you say, oh, I cannot believe. But if he's your friend, you find maybe. Right? But you still find hard to believe, right now. Because not just because of your friend or somebody went over that side and the other dimension or the other realm and came back to you and said, oh, I've been there. Believe me, I've been there. It's real. The streets of gold, this and that, this and that. Do you still believe?
No.
Huh? Because there's no scientific proof, no evidence. Did he go over that side, take a camera, take everything there, you know, take a picture of God or the angel flying around and say, yeah, you did all this, you know? And no such a thing. So why do we believe? There are so many evidences, you know, in the scriptures, in history, historical facts, prophetic facts, you know, scientific facts, and yet people still want to believe. So we are not in the first place to seek, you know, because nobody seek after God at all, really. It's God that seek after man. And when we got really touched, that's why I said we believe in predestination, election. Right? It is God who do a work. Alright. Let's go on. Verse 20, for the Father loved the Son, and show him all things that he himself do, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So this is the 1.5 years into Christ's ministry now. So greater works shall come. Where do you see it? You know? So we are going to see, because later on you see the raising of the dead, right? For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will. For the Father judged no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honor not the Son, honor not the Father who hath sent him. That's true. That's very important. John wrote this in the epistle of John. He wrote the same. If you don't believe that God sent the Son, if you do not believe in the Father and the Son, you don't have eternal life. You see, you cannot say, I believe in the Father only. How can you believe in the Father only if you don't know the Son in the first place? Isn't it? Just like the poor when the mass healed and then they stoned and inscribed there to the unknown God. Right? People say, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. I believe in God. What God are you referring to? You know, God is just a word, right? What God are you referring to? The one make of wood? Stone? I believe in God! The casino one, not them. Yeah, the God of the casino, the place, remember them. The God that is green in color. In Singapore, multicolor. You know, so if that's what you believe in, so God is just it's a word. So when you say believe in God, what God are you referring to? So he said, that's why he said, you need to believe in God the Father, but in order to know this real God the Father, you need to know Jesus. No man cometh unto me, to the Father but by me. Jesus said that. Is that right? So if I know Christ, you can never know God. To say that you know God without knowing Christ, that's wrong. That's not why the Jews believe only in Yahweh, and did it. And God promised to send them Messiah. And even what was prophesied already in the book of Psalms. You know? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand, and so on. And even Psalm 2, 7. This day have I begotten thee. Oh, my son, this day have I begotten. So, the Jews know all these things, but they cannot see that when Jesus appeared, they cannot accept it. You know, because they cannot understand that God, for God to be a Messiah, He has to be human. You know, and yet the rabbi will ask them, what would Messiah be? So Messiah be man, and he be God. So how can he be man and be God when you can't even accept the fact that here he was, the Jesus Christ? You see. But the problem with the Jew today, of course, even today, of course, many of them until today still believe that the Messiah must come both as Savior and as King at the same time. But the Bible tells us in order for him to be King, he must first lay down his life and have a kingdom. You know, of spiritual people. But the Jew are always looking for their literal kingdom. Their literal kingdom. Right? And today even many churches, a Christian even as what we have from this German minister preaching. And the Holy City, New Jerusalem, is a literal city. You know how counter that really is? The Holy City, New Jerusalem, the Bible says is the wife, is the Lamb's wife. Are you not the Lamb's wife? So the Lamb's wife is a human being, a spiritually born, and have a what we call glorified body. Do you need a house? Do we need a literal building? And of course, you've been told in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you, I'll go prepare a place for you. You're going to tell Jesus how many rooms you want, you better tell him. So he can give you a big mansion of many rooms. You see? Only some of this crazy religion you have, 72 virgin and there are 72. Well, I read, that's what this man was a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood. You go on to YouTube, you can see a whole lot of video clip there. And he was telling the people, no, you know, there are 72 virgin or 70 virgin, but there are 72 virgin with 70 room, don't know how many in the room, don't know what. That's what was taught. Unbelievable. Carnal mind of man. You see. And that's not why polygamy also is a wrong doctrine. Why people believe in polygamy and teach polygamy? Because they always have an agenda. Because they wanted to have more women in their life. One wife not enough. One wife not enough. Even two is not enough. Jacob got how many? Jacob got four. Four not enough. How many you want? I want just like King Solomon. Wow! What is that in the mind that I cannot even to believe in God preach? That is always when a preacher preaches something that, you know, that is to his benefit. They always see the carnality right there. You see, or to hide something that I have committed. Well, let's go on. Verse 24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. He that heareth my word. It didn't say about he that see me do some miracles or perform some healing. You know. Today a lot of people go to charismatic of Pentecost and see some healing or some sensation and start to believe. After a while, they backslip. They reject the truth. Why? Because there's no root in it. All they see is sensation. You know, all the healing, all that which Jesus performed, the healing, the miracle, what was it? To draw the attention of the people. Right? And then, preach the word. That's why I said, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me, have everlasting life. That's the purpose of the word. Only the word gives life. Not miracles. Not healing. They're all what you see. That's why you have this crowd of people who are throning Jesus Christ. Because they want to see with their eyes. They like to be entertained. Alright. Verse 25. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and there they hear shall live. What is this? The dead is not the living dead. I mean, not the dead dead. Not the decomposing dead in the grave. The dead are those dead in sin. Those that are walking. Those when you hear the voice of God, the word of Christ, the word that is being preached. Then, there they hear shall live. It's the word of life that give us this real life. I was one dead in sin. In the world, I don't know what, I thought I was a... You know, that's why I said a lot of people born to this world. Oh, think of a caterpillar. It's a good example of a caterpillar when it came out of the eggshell. Oh, so I'm alive. I've been encaved in the room, in the boy, in the coffin. Now I'm alive. I'm come out, say, come on in, crawl, crawl, crawl. I started eating the leaf, right? I'm alive, but that's what he thinks is alive. So all I do is to stay bound, but the caterpillar should know that he is a butterfly. Do you think the caterpillar knows that he is a butterfly? If he doesn't have revelation, this caterpillar will think he is just a caterpillar, eat, that's all. But a true born again, a creature will have knowledge. Everyone, every creature that God created have a knowledge of what they are. You know when a tapo came out of the, you know a tapo, right? Next moment, I got now two legs behind, next moment, two legs in front, then the tail starts to shrink. You know that this guy knows that I'm a frog, man. I am a tapo, I'm not a fish. You know, so the same thing with the caterpillar. Then the caterpillar, until he becomes a cocoon, then when he starts to fly, now he has freedom to be a fly. Hey, you realize this is truly being free. Not bound to the leaf or to the plant and eat only the greens of that plant. Now he has freedom to fly from where, from one side to one place to another, and he doesn't really eat leaves anymore. Butterfly don't eat leaves, huh? Alright? Before it was born again, it eat leaves. But after it was born again, what does it do now? What does it eat? It sucks up the nectar. And the same thing here we are. We are caterpillar right now. We are eating this green. Okay, this is the green. Green means life, not junky food, okay? Not hamburger. Okay, these are the green, real life. Eat it after you have eaten this, what will happen to us? This is the food that goes inside, and God works from inside out, not from outside in, inside out. And so one day, this body will change, and we put on incorruption. And we can fly. We can move from wall to wall. We can go from one place to another. Without taking MRT. No need to take bus, taxi or plane. You all know that, don't you? That's what I mean by freedom. Not bound to a place. Not bound to earth. You see. And that's why we see the need to hear the voice of God. Hear the word of Jesus Christ. Because that is life. Verse 26. For the Father hath life in himself. So hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now this is one verse that you must always remember. Huh? Okay, if you have a Bible, don't be afraid to dirty the Bible. I can see that Barakani's Bible is a bit dirty. That's good. Take a pencil and circle that verse. Because this is the verse that tells you who Jesus Christ really is. Only God has life. Jesus Christ has no life. The Bible said it, I need to say it. If you don't believe me, heavenly God, you're telling me the truth. Jesus has no life. So don't look at the Bible. The Bible said that. Okay, read carefully. For as the Father have life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. He was, God gives the life to the Son, right? Yes or no? If the Son had life, why must it be then for God to give the life to him? You understand what I'm talking about? You see, when Jesus was born, he was born in human. Sinless human. There was no eternal life, the power of eternal life given to him. Do you understand? You right? So, the Father had the life, the power of eternal life. He gave this life to the Son. Now the Son has the power of eternal life and he gave it to you and me. Do you understand that? Huh? So we are his inheritance. That's why the Father gave a name, a special name to the Son. That's what. And the Son gave it to us. Jesus gave it to us. And so we are all little Messiah, or little Yahweh, or Yahshua, so to speak. Do you understand that? The meaning of it. The Father gave the Son to the Son. The Son gave it to us. No man come unto the Father but through the Son. You see. So for the Trinity, Trinitarian, try to explain that. Of course, you have all these various ways of explaining that. So in the moment when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person, became flesh, I have no power. Is that so? So he must act like a human being, no power, until the Father gives him the power. That is not what the Bible teaches. They will have a very strange way of teaching it, and will try to maintain this false doctrine of a Trinity. Alright, so there's only one that has power, and that's God. There's one that has eternal life, and that's God the Father. Right? Then God begat a Son, or the Son of God, and then he gave the power of eternal life to the Son. And the Son give it to you. He that cometh unto me have eternal life. He that believe the Father have sent me have eternal life. Okay? Alright, let's go to verse 27. And have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now he said that John said that, or Jesus said that God has given him authority to execute judgment. To judge between the right and the wrong. Right? Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave, so here's what now is all that are in the grave now. Huh? Okay? The dead that is walking around, and one dead are those in the grave. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and some shall come forth. There they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and there they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That is the resurrection day, the day of judgment. Okay? The good one, all those, the righteous, though they are his, will come out in the resurrection of life. Those that are wicked, unbeliever, they rise up to the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And the main Jesus says, I don't judge according to my own judgment. I judge according to what God sees. His word, according to his word. So his judgment will be just. Right? That's what it is. So because he was given the word. Alright. Verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, nobody witness for himself. You need that, when you go to court, you need someone to bear witness of you, right? You cannot witness yourself. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior. You cannot go and proclaim yourself like this, because there's no witness to the fact. Huh? I cannot witness myself. Basically, what is true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed on me is true. Who's that? That's John the Baptist. You sent unto John and he bear witness unto the truth. Did you not go to John? Did you not go to John and ask him about me? Ask him about him? Remember? If you study earlier, we study that. You see. And I received not testimony from men. But this thing I say, that you might be saved. It doesn't matter. I don't bear any testimony from any man. God will vindicate me. God will testify who I am or witness who I am. He was a burning and shining light. There was John and he and you will... You were willing for the season to rejoice in his life. And that's what the religious people. When John came preaching about sin and this and that, oh, they said, good, man, this is good. And John preached against the corrupt government, oh, they're very happy. You know. But when he got a little closer, a little deeper, and that's when the Pharisees got tired of him. For a season, you rejoice in his ministry. You know. And but I have greater weakness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So, only the work. As is on why the miracle of Jesus Christ, the healing of Jesus Christ, all this testify that there is a higher power. You know what I mean? That? So, that is what Jesus said. This will testify who I am. Because no man can do this thing, as some witness said, except God be with him. That is true. Huh? For a fact. Okay, you see, John the Baptist did not do any miracle. But the fact is that God doesn't want John to draw attention to him, to John himself. Okay, because the one that he's pointing to will do that miracle, because God is going to elevate the Son of God to let people know that this is the Messiah that was supposed to come. And the Father himself which has sent me have borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, or that is to say his appearance, or to see him face to face. And you have not his word abiding you, for whom he has sent, you believe not. You see that this is the problem with these religious Pharisees and religious Jews. Jesus said, you don't have the Father's word abiding you. Because if you know what the Father said, in his word you will know who I am. But because you don't have his word, you don't know who I am. You could not believe whom God sent. You cannot even believe in John whom he sent, you cannot believe in me whom God sent. You just cannot believe because you don't have the word of God abiding in you. And one thing otherwise we can recognize Brother Branham as messenger of God is because we have the word. And God give us this recognition. That when we hear the message, we compare with the word, hey, that is what it is. We can believe. The same thing the first time you came to Jesus Christ. You were a sinner. We were sinners. Then the Lord spoke to us, right? And we merely hear the voice. Then we believe the word of God. We check the word of God and surely it is. It's what the word teaches. So this is what abides in us. And that's where we continue to grow. And as we grow, the more the word of God will be made known to us. Verse 239. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify to me. And you will not come to me, that you might have life. You go, search the scripture. He told the Pharisees, the religious Jew, go and search the scripture, because that's what it is that tells you who I am. If you believe in them, you know you have eternal life. Search it. And today, we say, I'm a Christian already, okay. And people will search the Bible. We need to continue to search the Bible. We continue to study the Bible and move on in the faith. 41. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Wow. Somebody, here's the religious people, you know? They know the Torah. They know Moses and the law and the prophets and all this. And Jesus says, I know who you are. You have not the love of God in you. Wow. That's the judgment of Jesus Christ. He knows them. He knew them. Buddha, and he said, you don't have the love of God in you. Now if somebody come up to you and you're a Christian and somebody else come to you and some another Christian come up to you and say, hey brother, you don't have the love of God in you. How would you feel? You'll feel offended. And so would these people. Huh? But that is the truth that Jesus spoke of God about these religious people. Because they seek to destroy him, they don't recognize the word of God, they don't know him, they don't know the weakness of John the Baptist. And even the miracles they will perform, they don't even recognize them as a testimony of truth. I'm coming to my Father's, I'm coming in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Well, that's true now, they're saying about the problem right there in the Arabic world. You know, and this all this thing that is going to build up, and there is going to be one coming out of Iran and some of this interpretation. And then they will approach the Jews, you know, and make a pact, and see, they will receive this one. They may not receive the Messiah, but this one they will receive. So that's how they interpret it. Alright, but the Pope is kind of very quiet today, and the world is in for a surprise. Every time you can see there's a calm before the storm as far as the prophetic, religious, spiritual, I mean the Christian world is concerned. Though of course on the other side, the physical side, the political crisis in the Middle East and in the Arab world today. And what yesterday's news said? America, the IMF is turning America to develop the money. Oh yes. And I don't know how soon they will implement that. You know. So maybe in the next few days or weeks, I don't know, and you'll see in the news media, $1 equals to $1 Singapore. Huh? Would that not be? Not possible? Well, maybe $1.10. Huh? No, that's how it is, because our money here is strong. And China is telling America, you better devalue your money, man. There's a lot of problems in the world, and that's why I said if the economy of America collapses, that's the end of it. The whole world will shift to the middle to Europe and shift to Asia. And this is the two power that you see in the Bible mentioned. The king of the east and the beast that rise up of the sea. The whole thing will change. And with all that is going on in the Arabic world, this is a gear, this is a coming about, all this problem because of the oil issue. And you know Russia? They are eyeing the oil. They are looking at opportunity to come. You know. Because they already are fed up with the economy in their own country. So we need to go on and bring back the old power. That's what it is. Let's go on to verse 44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not your honor that come from God only? And this is a problem. Huh? And that's what I see sometimes in this religious world. Benihin will give honor to Kenaragin. Kenaragin will give honor to Benihin. You know? They will all give honor, you know, they will receive honor one for another. So they boost one another. Hey, look man, I have my own TV evangelism, okay? In America, they have a lot of channels, you know? Okay? On Sunday especially, from morning to evening, one after another will come on the air. Every hour has a new religious program. Paul Crouch, Bernard Hurgin, Cerullo. They will come on, and each of them will talk about the other because they're all charismatic. And they give praise to each other. And everybody says, oh, these are all great guys, we have unity. Someone just wrote me an email, a new one that, from Turkey, talk about unity. He said, yes, you know, we must understand that those other in Canada and Germany, you have done your job and all this, you know, we must keep our unity. I said, yes, I believe in unity. I can go along with anybody in a denomination. I can go along with the Methodist. I can go along with the Presbyterian. Yes. Right? But I cannot be in unity with them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know? Because it is the truth that separates. And if truth does not separate, then everybody believes in the same. Why is ecumenism today on track? Because they remove all the truth. They don't want to have anything to do with doctrine. And they know very well, they always say this, doctrines divide. which is true. Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? Free from all this falsehood of unity, this false unity thing. You are caught in a system. You are believing in something that is not right. The truth will set you free. How can you have any... Well, you brother, Indian brother, you know what Roja is? You know what Roja is? Huh? No. Acha. Roja, you make a salad. You know this? You have a pineapple, you have turnips, you have... Okay, then you put black stuff and you mess them up.
Yeah.
We call Roja here. That's a Malay word for Roja. Hello, in the Philippines is hello stuff. Right? You have your ice kacang, your shredder ice, and you have all the different colors and all the different stuff. It's called hello. So we have the Roja. How can they get together? I say this. How can they get together? How come Roja tastes so nice? When apple and oranges and pineapple and turnip and cucumber inside it, but it all tastes almost the same. It's because of the black stuff they put in it. Huh? Is it? That's what it is. You see? And the same thing that ecumenism are able to function is because they have one ingredient. Only one ingredient. Whether you are Trinitarian or whether you're oneness or whatever you are, doesn't matter. There's only one ingredient for everyone. So whether you're cucumber or pineapple, you all get the same ingredient from whatever denomination. And that ingredient is what? The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. You get it? The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Hey, we all have one God, the Father, right? Yes! Methodist! Anglican! Lutheran! Yes, yes! Okay, and we have the same fatherhood. And we're all brothers, right? Brothers! Brother, don't fight brother, man. So, okay, your fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. One ingredient, yes. So, that's, don't talk about the Trinity or the hellfire or whatever you believe, okay? Don't fight among each other, okay? Believe whatever you want, that's okay. But united together, this is how we should unite. Only the one ingredient. And the Bible doesn't teach you that. Huh? Yes. Paul said, if anybody, even an angel come from heaven, they preach any other gospel than the one I give it to you, then they're cursed. And Paul said, we don't have any other tradition, we don't have any other custom. As for women to keep hair, long hair, and to dress properly, that's the way it is. Men have short hair, women have long hair, and that's what the Bible teaches. And if we don't do that, then we just have our own. We cannot function as a true church. And that's not why the Word of God was separate. When Jesus preached the truth, many of his followers left him. Alright, let's finish up with this. Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Jesus won't even have to accuse them to the Father. That is one that accuses you already. That is Moses in whom you trust. You know, Jesus tell him, I'm not going to accuse you to the Father. There's only one who is already accusing you. Moses. Because you already said you believe in him, you trust in him. His word already accused you. Wow. You see that? The word itself already told the truth. But these people are so religious, they don't think much about it. They go with their tradition. And that's why we separate from tradition. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote me. How true it is. Moses wrote everything concerning him. Huh? The Lord thy God will send you a prophet like unto me. Huh? And him, if you do not hearken unto him, you will be cut off from Israel. Cut off from the house of God. See, and then they believe Moses everything. We are Moses, we are Abraham, blah, blah, blah. But they did not really believe. That's why Jesus said, you do not have the love of God in you. You do not have the word of God abiding in you. Hey, this is a very harsh word. This is the first time Jesus actually preached so harshly to a people like that, who challenges him, who wanted to kill him. You know, I remember times like this also when I was overseas. When they challenged me, they questioned me, I stood up and preached the same just like that, tell them straight in the face what they are. But these two men I still remember very well. to have two Ugandan men came to challenge me with the word of Brother Branham against the word of God. And finally, at the end of it, they cannot answer my question, and I give them the whole doctrine of truth. And I told them, I said, look, you came here with the word of Brother Branham, but do you have the mind of the prophet? Do you have the mind of the prophet? Do you know what Brother Branham was saying? I said, do you? They keep quiet. Everybody was there listening to me. I was very firm at that time and strict. I said, you don't have it. Two of them sitting there. I said, you don't have it. I said, but one standing here right now, I can tell you this. I have the mind of the prophet. I know what the prophet is trying to say. And that's important. That's somehow, you know, is the Lord taking hold of me to speak like this. Because not everybody can understand the word of God. That's you know what prophets, apostles, and so on, servants of God are sent to teach the word. To bring it to light, the meaning of the word of God. But many of them think because they know Libra Abraham's book, they think they know everything. They go to the Bible school, they think they know everything. Not at all. Not at all. You see. Alright? And so he said in verse 47, but if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? You have all the writings of the of Moses and the prophets. If you cannot believe his writing, their writing, how can you believe my word? Because they are the words. Their words testify to me. If you have believed and understood it, you will know who I am. No, you didn't believe Moses. You said you do. That's just not what a lot of people say. I believe the message. I believe the message. But they don't. Because they don't know what the message is all about. They follow all these big ministers all from Europe, from America, from Canada. But what's the problem? Huh? Because these people are so close to Brother Branham. And they think they know everything Brother Branham said. Also, one thing to know what Brother Branham said. But the thing is, the question is that, do you know what the Bible said? It's about the Bible. It's not about Brother Branham. It's about Christ, the Word, not about the servant of Christ. Can a servant be greater than a master? The Bible said that no. You see? So it's all about Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, and they want to have unity around Brother Branham and his spoken word. Or his books, or his messages on tape. You see? And no wonder Brother Branham made this comment, I guess the people don't know. Maybe there's only 1% and 1% that make the rapture. Huh? Brother Branham don't make it to scare people, you know? They make them realize that it is true. As it was the days of Noah, right? It was in the, back then. As it was in the day of Moses, how many went in now? Are those above 20 and above? You see? And what about the children of Israel? God deal with them time and time again. Until he got fed up, sent them out all over the world. Scattered them all over the world. And what about the churches today? You think they're the same? It's just the same. And don't think that we are Christian. The people in our Christian world, 25% of the world population are Christian. Don't think that they're all going to make the rapture. They're all God's people. They are not. Just are not all Israel are Israel. Is that right? And so the same thing. Not all Christians are Christian. And not all believers in the meta message are true believers. Many are just tack along. Many people, many are just getting sensationalized because they are so all taken up. Oh, Brother Branham, oh, look in America, he performed, look, 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 look. Right? Yes. Jesus said to them too, you're not here for the word, you're here for, look, 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 what I can perform. Right? The feast, the bread, the miracles. You're not here for the real food. We are here for the real food. We are here for the word of God. We're not here about so and so, so and so. It's all about Jesus. Amen? God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the Holy Word, Lord. We thank you for today's passage of John 5. Truly, Lord, a straight, simple, forward message of our Lord Jesus Christ to these religious Jews of his day. Yes, Lord, there are many like them today. They claim to know the prophet. Like they knew back then in the days of Jesus, Moses and his books and all that, but they didn't know the truth, Father. They did not have the word abide in them. They didn't recognize what Moses was saying. And so likewise today, there are many, Lord, that came to know the prophet Branham and his word, the tape about his life, especially this and that, but as concerning the very Savior of their life, they know not anything, Lord. Oh, we are thankful, Father, you open our eyes to see, and we know that there are many still out there that need to come to the realization, O Father, to return back to the Word of God, to come back to the Word of God, because that is what people are like. So we thank you, Lord, for as Jesus said, that if we believe in the Father, we should believe in the Son of God. For the Father sent the Son into the world. That the Father sent the Son that we might have life through Him. And we are thankful, Lord, because Thou have given life to Jesus, and who in turn give life to us. And we are so thankful, Lord, that we can be called children of the living God, begotten of the Word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, bless this day. Commit the rest of the day to you in Jesus' name.